Initially, I thought, maybe this is allergies, but no, it's the Holy Spirit. It's his presence. And I'm so thankful for who he is to us. As you know, it is allergy season. And for those that have early spring allergies, you know what it feels like. How many in the room would say, that's me? And it gets worse at night. Yes, and my seven-year-old, she suffers from, as soon as the season starts to change, it's over. And in the middle of the night, last night, she woke up and woke me up out of a sound sleep. And I was just really frustrated because I'd had a couple of nights that I didn't sleep very well, and I was finally sleeping well. And she woke us up, and I'm like, dang it. I'm so irritated. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up and help her, but I'm her mom, so I have to. And if you've ever cared for a child or cared for a person through the night, you know how it feels to be sleep deprived. And so I'm helping her cough up her mucus and getting her breathing treatment ready and trying to find her allergy medicine and just right, standing right there in the middle of the bathroom. The Holy Spirit stopped me and he said, this is worship to me. Amen. You see, I could have, and I would have, cared for Taya no matter what. She's my daughter, so that's what we do. But how I do it matters to God. And I stopped and I had to repent. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Would you fix my attitude? Would you make me patient like you? We always need to remember as Christians that worship, it's not just about what we've done here tonight for the first 30 minutes of this service. Worship is how we love God through the life we live and the actions that we give him. The title of my sermon tonight is Expressions of Worship. Actions speak louder than words. I want to read from Luke chapter 7, so if you would, stand to your feet with me. I'm going to read 36 through 50, so go with me as we read together. I'm reading from the NIV. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner. Jesus answered his thought. Like he thought it, and Jesus was like, hey, Simon, I have something to tell you. Simon says, oh yeah, tell me, teacher. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she's loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. And then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this that he even forgives sin? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You may be seated. This story is so beautiful to me because without words, this woman walks in and shows her worship for Jesus by the actions that she displays. These actions are much louder than any words she could have spoken, not only to Jesus, but to everybody that was in the room. I love this series we've been on Wednesday night about worship because it makes us think beyond the song, beyond the worship set. Worship is not a genre of music. It can't be packaged, produced, marketed, or sold. It can't be consumed or bought. It doesn't happen based on our preference or our mood. Worship is not meant for people. Worship is meant for God. Worship is a genre of life, a way of life. It can only be freely given to God from a heart of gratitude and obedience. Worship is a verb. There is action required on our part. It's part of working out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. And you might ask, well, if Jesus already saved me, why do I have to work out that salvation? Well, justification is the forgiveness of sin. It's how God makes us clean. In other words, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross proves how much we are worth to him, that he makes us clean. But sanctification is living according to God's forgiveness, how we love or worship him with our lives. Our worship proves how much Jesus' sacrifice is worth to us. Think of it in this way. On November 15th, 2014, we've been married almost 10 years in November. On November 15th, 2014, oh yeah, someone's clapping because you know how hard marriage is. On November 15th, 2014, I became Marcus's wife. He said, I do, and made me his wife. And for the last 9.5 years, I've been becoming a wife. I'm not doing the things that single women do anymore. I'm still learning how to be a wife. I was a wife on November 15th, 2014, and I'm still learning what it means to become a wife. That's the difference between justification and sanctification. As we walk out our life with Jesus, we are being sanctified by him. It's the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it's our response or expression of worship to him. He is making us holy as our actions come into alignment with his will. Now, what can we learn from this nameless woman in our passage about expressing worship to God with our actions? This is not an exhaustive list, but I want to circle 5 ways we can express our worship to God that we can find in this passage. This woman is working out her salvation through worship. The question I ask myself as I read this text are, how did these Pharisees, these hypocrites, know her past? The first thing I want to say that she does in this passage that I want to circle is she expresses honor. Worship expresses honor. This woman didn't care about what others thought about her. She showed up to honor Jesus. But how did these Pharisees know who she was? How did they know about her past? Had they hung out with her before? Somehow Simon knew who she used to be And I wonder how that happened. She was the uninvited guest. She felt shame, yet she gave her honor to Jesus because he was worthy of it. She did not care who was in the room. Her worship was reserved solely for the honor of God. It went beyond social or societal barriers or boundaries. She just wanted to honor Jesus, even if it meant she had to do it in the presence of people who used to know her back when. When your past comes knocking at your door, do you revert to who you used to be? Or do you honor God in their presence anyway? Some of us let our sinful past distract us from worship. I just can't show my face over there, or the devil made me do it. But Jesus wants us to see that he is honored when we worship from the place of having been forgiven and set free. May we honor God. May we express worship to him with honor every day of our lives and in everything we do. Second thing that worship expresses is emotion. Worship expresses emotion. In those days, they didn't take off shoes when they came into each other's houses. They didn't walk around with socks. They actually washed feet. The ground was dirty and they wore sandals everywhere and feet were dirty and they washed feet. But it's really interesting how nobody washed Jesus' feet. This woman comes in the door weeping. She's blinded maybe through her tears. Could it be because she's been mocked by a room full of Pharisees for having the audacity to show up unannounced? Maybe she was grieving over the disrespect she felt that they didn't wash Jesus' feet, and this is a man deserving of honor. Maybe she was overwhelmed with emotion, thinking about the way that Jesus had forgiven her from her previous sins. Perhaps she was moved to tears. We don't know why she was overcome with emotion, but we do know that she gave it to Jesus. She poured out her tears at Jesus' feet. So much weeping that there were enough tears to wash his feet. Church, Jesus wants our emotion. He wants our tears when our heart is breaking. He wants us to bring it to him. That is worship to him. When we're moved to tears of gratitude because his forgiveness has set us free, when we pour it out on him, that's worship to him. When the things that break God's heart also break ours. When we pour out our emotion on him, that's worship. Church, how often do the things that break God's heart break yours? When other people dishonor Jesus, do you weep? How often do you sit at the feet of Jesus and pour out your emotion even in the midst of your pain? Does it move you to tears to think about how he justified you and made you clean when you didn't do anything to deserve it? May expressing emotion become a way of life for us that expresses our worship to God every single day. The third thing that worship expresses is glory. I've read commentaries that suggest that women who were prostitutes in the first century church, in the area in that time, had short or shaved hair. Yet women who were pure and holy had long hair. Long hair was described as a woman's glory. We don't know how long it had been since this woman had been forgiven by Jesus, but I would suggest that it had to be long enough for her hair to grow out. She was a known prostitute, and everybody else identified her by who she used to be. But Jesus looked at her by who he made her to be. And this woman, laying at the feet of Jesus, used her hair, her glory. She laid her glory at the feet of Jesus as a rag to wipe the mud from Jesus' feet, essentially saying, I lay myself down that you may be glorified. Any glory that I have is as mud. Only you are worthy of glory. All compliments, any glory that I receive must be given back to Jesus. I cast my crown at your feet, God. We got to be careful not to take glory from God, but rather express glory to God. God wants his glory, and he will compete with no one for it. It's a dangerous thing when humans try to take from God what only belongs to him. Just ask Ananias and Sapphira. How does your life give glory to God? When no one is watching, does your life glorify God? When everyone is watching, do you cast the glory back to Jesus, or do you take it for yourself? May expressing glory to God become a way of life that gives worship to God every single day. God, you get the glory. And the fifth thing I see here that worship expresses is affection. This woman kisses the feet of Jesus over and over and over again. Her proximity to Jesus was such that her affection could be expressed in a tangible way. When we are near to Jesus, we are radically changed. Our affection should reflect the change that he has made in our heart. Are you close enough with Jesus that he can feel your affection? Is it tangible to Jesus? Is it tangible to others? Whatever holds our gaze will eventually hold our heart. Does Jesus hold your gaze? Are you close enough to him to look him in the eyes? In a world that is constantly competing for our affections, it's important that we make him the object of our daily affection. Only you, God. Only you and no one else. In what ways do you tangibly express your affection for God? Our money, our time, our attention, our devotion, those are all like kisses to God. Let us love him so closely that he can feel our affection. Let's make it a way of life that gives worship to God every day. And lastly, worship expresses value. The word worship is a compressed form of an old English term, worth-ship, W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P, worth-ship. It involves ascribing worth or value to something or someone. This unnamed woman didn't just bring olive oil. She brought eau de parfum, the kind of perfume that is expensive and lingers for days, the kind that costs $400 for an ounce. Anything that has worth has value. And anything that carries value will cost you something. Worship requires sacrifice. The first time we ever see the word worship show up in the Bible is when Abraham took his son Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him. He said, "The boy and I are going to go up and worship." Worship is sacrifice. What kind of worth or value does your worship ascribe to the Lord? Does it cost you anything? You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster jar. And I don't know the cost in yours. But I can tell you, the anointing is not cheap. The oil comes through crushing and pressing, and it costs you something. I so appreciate what happened here tonight on this stage in worship. And I want you to know that what you see up here are people who are living lives poured out before the Lord. When it comes to musical worship and how we express our affections to Jesus from this stage in front of you, we're not trying to put on a show. We're showing Jesus what he is worth to us. In vulnerability, while the whole world is watching, we're bringing a sacrifice of praise, and it costs us something. But you don't get to see the price tag on our worship, because it's developed over time in hidden places when we're grieving yet still leading you to Jesus, when we're battling diagnoses yet still leading you to Jesus, when we're heartbroken from miscarriage yet still getting on this stage and encouraging you to look to him. I remember being here, finding out one Thursday morning that I'm miscarrying, showing up to rehearsal, nobody knowing, but giving my worship to Jesus. Why? Because when I'm heartbroken, when I'm in pain, when I'm doubting, when I'm wondering, I have to run to the feet of Jesus. I gotta find him. Imagine me that Sunday morning, life is leaving my body, but I'm ascribing value to my God. That's worship. When we show up with our tithe and offering, with glad hearts we give it even though we're in financial need. That's worship. When we say no to sin because we know Christ gave us freedom from it, that's worship. When we defer to one another in humility and kindness, even when we are right, that is worship. When we have patience with our children in the middle of the night when we're groggy and tired and frustrated, that's worship. We worship God by expressing and demonstrating his value through our actions, our words, and our lifestyle. That is worship to God. And I want to ask you tonight, in what ways do you need to express value to the Lord? In what way tonight do you need to offer him your worship? How might God be sanctifying us through our circumstances tonight? Where is God calling you to a higher standard of worship in your daily life, in the way that you live? What areas of your life or what actions need to come into alignment with the will of God? When can you make time to express your affection and draw closer to Jesus just by sitting at his feet? We've been having this practice that Pastor Tellis has been leading our staff in. At the beginning of our staff meeting every week, we spend like 1 to 2 minutes just in silence with the Lord. Because when it's quiet, you can hear his voice. And since we have your attention tonight, and you're not scrolling Instagram, and you don't have screaming kids waiting for dinner, and there's no one competing for your affection, I want to do just that. I want to take a couple minutes and sit in quiet silence before the Lord. And I want you to ask the Lord, God, where do you want my worship? Where have I needed to express value to you that I've fallen short? Where have I misplaced my affection? Where have I taken your glory for my own? Where have I missed opportunities to give you my emotion? Where have I lacked honor in my life? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your work in our lives. For the way that you speak to us. For the way that you shepherd us. For the way that you remind us that you want to be close. Lord, help us to give you the glory that you're deserving of. Help us to value you above ourselves. Help us to cast our crowns at your feet. Give you honor. Not just with our words, but with our lives. Thank you for what you've done in this room tonight. From the beginning of the service to the end, you've been weaving your presence, your power, your glory all throughout this service. May we respond to you. The next obstacle that we come to, may we remember, God, you want worship out of it. You can have our affection. You can have our attention. We surrender again. We love you, God. Our affection, our attention, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of you, Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, we pour it out. Jesus, our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the service. If you need prayer, you could come to the front right now. We'll pray for you. As you go here from here tonight, may the Lord remind you that your worship is valuable to Him, that it means everything when you lay it all down and lift Him up above it. Let's stand together. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you and your name forever and ever, Jesus. Amen. We'll see you guys on Sunday.